Welcome. Thank you for tuning in again to the Bible Believers Broadcast, brought to you by the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan. We continue now as Pastor Mike takes us through the book of John.
All right, well, it's good to be back with you again today. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off last time in John chapter number 1, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." There's an exclamation point there. Behold the Lamb of God. Seems to me like John was excited about pointing men to Jesus Christ. I think you and I ought to take that example and get excited about pointing men to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of us pointing men to. And so verse number 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Now you'll notice John turned his own disciples to the Lord. Paul warns about men in the church, he said, who want to draw away disciples after themselves. And Paul warned the leaders in the church to be careful about men who rise up among yourself and speak perverse things and want to draw away disciples after themselves. Can I tell you, it is not my job to get you to become a follower of me. It is not my job to get you to join our church or to attend our church. Let the Holy Ghost of God lead you to the church He wants you to be in. It is my job to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my job. That's what every Christian ought to be doing. Behold the Lord. Would you look at the Lord? But you'll notice it says, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked." See, John had to look at Jesus first before he could point other men to Jesus. I think that might be our problem. Maybe as Christians, we're looking a little bit too much at ourselves, at our religion, at where we're right and where we're wrong, at what we need to change. We're looking a little bit too much at the world around us and all the problems going on in the culture and all the issues and all the hang-ups and all. We're looking at everything but Jesus. We're looking at the winds and the waves. And when you look at the winds and the waves, you sink. But see, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you can walk on the water. You can rise above it all. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to put our focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says this in verse number 38. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye?" So the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed the Lord. Good thing. Very good thing. John, good job, John. Your church just shrunk, John. Two guys just left and went to follow Jesus. Good job. What a strange concept, huh? But he did what he was supposed to do. He pointed them to Christ. So job well done. Mission accomplished. And Jesus turned and saw them following. He sees these two men following him, and he says, "What seek ye?" Now that's an interesting question. See, Jesus knew that those men weren't really seeking Jesus like they ought to have been. They were seeking something. What seek ye? Instead of whom seek ye? We just saw last night in our institute class in the book of John, chapter number 19, or chapter number 20, excuse me, when Jesus saw Mary, he said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And then he said this, "Whom seekest thou?" See, Jesus knew her heart, and he knew that she was seeking him. So Jesus asked the question, "Whom seekest thou?" Not "What seekest thou?" So he said, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." Now, you'll notice as you read your Bible, many people complain that the Bible is so difficult to understand and all that kind of thing. And I'll admit that sometimes when you read it at first, you don't get it. But the reason is because the Bible says that the natural man, the natural human mind, the natural man doth not perceive the things of God, for they're spiritually discerned. Can I tell you this? Let me say it this way. The Bible is not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. The reason that people struggle with the Bible is because they want to see it through human eyes. They don't want to just take it by faith and believe it. If you'll just take this book by faith and believe it and study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you'll do that and ask God, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ," like we talked about earlier this week. If you'll seek God in the Bible. If you'll approach the Bible with a humble mind and a prayerful mind, asking God to teach you, you'll be shocked at the simplicity of Scripture. God defines things all throughout the Scriptures. You'll find a definition very close to a word that you wouldn't really understand. All right, so here he defines rabbi, parentheses, which is to say, being interpreted, master. Where dwellest thou? So they wanted to know where he lived. They wanted to find out just exactly, I mean, this guy was really making waves in society, and they wanted to see where he was from. They wanted to see what he was all about. They wanted to see his house. They wanted to cruise by and check him out, you know. Verse number 39, he saith unto them, come and see. You want to find out more about me? Come on and see. I got nothing to hide. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, the Bible says the foxes have holes and the birds of the air hath nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So I figured Jesus said, well, yeah, come check it out. And I imagine in the back of his mind, he's thinking they ain't going to make it if they're in it for the wrong reason. When they see the way I live, they'll take off if their heart ain't right. Now, verse number 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, here's an interesting thing. Andrew is not really quite as powerful, and his life doesn't really make quite as many waves in the Word of God as Simon Peter does. Simon Peter's quite a man. As we study his life and go through the book of John and even into the book of Acts, we're studying him in our institute class here at our church on Thursday nights. And as we study Peter, boy, I'm telling you, he's something else. And he's a great guy, but he's constantly getting himself in trouble at first. He winds up doing a lot for the Lord and loving the Lord and being a very passionate man, but not a whole lot is said about Andrew. But in verse number 41, he says this, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now, interesting, even though Andrew did not make all the waves in Scripture that Peter did, Andrew did do one thing very well. You know what he did? He went and he found one person, and he led one man to Jesus Christ. He took a family member, and he said, listen, brother, you got to come. And so Simon Peter comes and gets to know the Lord because of Andrew. Have you ever stopped to consider the reason that the judgment seat of Jesus Christ does not come until after he raptures his church out of here, after we're gone, while the great tribulation is taking place on the earth? And boy, we're seeing the signs of that coming. But while the great tribulation is taking place on the earth, the bride of Jesus Christ is up in heaven, and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we have the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, where we're judged according to our service for the Lord. But that judgment does not come until the end. The reason being, think about the man who led Peter to Christ. Well, he led Peter to Christ. Peter went on to lead thousands to Christ. Thousands. Well, that small seed that Andrew planted brings forth fruit through his brother to the tune of thousands. And everybody would look at Peter and say, wow, you did a great job with your life. Wow, Peter is quite something else. Wow, Peter really accomplished this and that and the other thing. But the fact of the matter is Peter wouldn't accomplish anything if his brother hadn't brought him to Jesus. So it's important that you try to lead somebody to Jesus Christ and disciple them and teach them the truths of the Word of God. Because when they go and do something for the Lord, well, that same work that they're doing is credited to your account. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. Now here he begins to upbraid the church for their carnality, the Corinthian church, a very carnal church. Oh, they're full of gifts. You know, they're all speaking in tongues and they're all doing this and that and the other thing. But Corinthian church was all about themselves. They were all about how much they knew and how much doctrine they had and how many gifts they had and all that kind of thing. And they weren't all about Jesus. The Corinthian church was very obsessed with the men, with the name of the man, with the recognition of the man, with the authority of the man. See? All right? And proof of that is in the chapter number 1. He says, for it hath been, verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, interesting. Their problems were, they were all about who it was who led them to Christ, whose church they were a member of. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, who's Peter, oh, I'm of Christ. Oh, you know, they're all bragging about who they were from. And Paul said, is Christ divided? Huh. Was Paul crucified? Did I die for you? I mean, what a good man. Just like John the Baptist, constantly putting the credit to Jesus, the attention on Jesus, the focus on Jesus, not on himself. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Then he says something peculiar. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, if baptism saved them, like some churches believe, you got to get into the water to be baptized to wash away sin, because they're very confused about a transition book, the book of Acts, and what was going on there, what was being taught. They're very confused about the Gospels and what John was actually doing, and they don't understand the plainness of the Gospel. They don't understand rightly dividing the word of truth. So they say baptism saves us, but Paul says, I'm glad I baptized none of you. Listen, I'm a pastor and there's some folks in our church that I've led to Jesus Christ. I've never said from the pulpit, anytime that there's problems in every church. Anytime I've never gotten the pulpit and said, I'm glad there's not a person here that I ever led to Jesus. That's silly. Baptism wasn't saving them. Paul wasn't saying that. And then he goes on to say, for Christ sent me not to baptize. If baptism saved them, why in the world would the man say something like that? But to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. The preaching of the cross saves them. See? So this is a carnal church. Obsessed with the men, obsessed with baptism, obsessed with all these things that ought not be obsessed with. So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, God used Andrew to reach Simon Peter. God uses one man to water, one man to plant, one man to water. But God is the one who gives the increase. God gave the increase through Peter. Andrew did what God had for Andrew to do and reached Peter. He did his small work for the Lord and God honored it. And Peter did then what God called Peter to do and God honored it. And praise the Lord, when they get to the judgment, they're going to both give the glory to the Lord because they just simply obeyed the Lord. Friend, why don't you and I just simply obey the Lord today and tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in for today's broadcast. Pastor Mike will be back on the air next week and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 5:15 p.m. If you'd like to catch up on any of the broadcasts that you might have missed, or hear more teaching and preaching from the Word of God, you can do so online at our website, the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan, at bbcosl.com. God bless.